nothing has gone much further than like somebody commenting something, you know, like dyke or whatever. And I'm like, cool.
Those people aren't real.
I know. And I'm like, cool. I have a sweatshirt that says that. Tell me something that's going to hurt my feelings. Like, get the fuck out of here.
Welcome to Music.Gay. My guest today is Taylor Hughes, better known by her stage name, Pure Ecstasy. Taylor grew up in Baltimore behind a drum kit, and by 2010, she was touring the United States and Canada. Now add in a pandemic, a lot of life experience, and fast forward to right now, and she's a solo act, and we will talk about that. As Pure Ecstasy, Taylor has recently released new tracks like Shadow, Lighter, and very recently, Fall Apart, a mesmerizing alternative single accompanied with a newly released short film. And this is the first of at least three short films that will unfold over 2024 in anticipation of her debut full-length album release. As in, these are movies, not just like music videos accompanying this album. It's dope. Pure Ecstasy has shared the stage with acts like Fletcher, Jenny Lewis, Dashboard Confessional, and Dayglow, and is on Apple Music's prestigious new and alternative playlist. She's been featured on Fox 21 and even has music in an upcoming feature film. Her music is like all of the best things about Hot Topic with only slightly less eyeliner, and it somehow evokes both Muse and Fall Out Boy and maybe just a touch of The Weeknd, all while being appropriately alt and appropriately pop. It's dark, it's broody, it's sexy, it's moody, and it's fun. And the music is every bit as up as the lyrics are down at times, and the contrast is delicious. Check out her music at purextcmusic.com. That's pure, the letter X, the letter T, letter C, music.com. You'll find links to Spotify, music videos and short films on YouTube, etc. She's got some East Coast shows happening now in New York City and in Baltimore, so check the website for info there as well. She's also got remixes from Fall Apart, her recent single, from a couple of artists that she loves, which we'll talk about, but you can keep an eye out for that as well. And this summer, find her plastered all over Pride on a stage or possibly down in the mosh pit with the rest of us. Taylor, I'm Frankie. Welcome to Music.Gay.
Wow. I don't even know what to say. That was like the best intro I've ever heard. I'm like, I need somebody to type it out so I can use it as my new bio. Thank you so much.
Yeah, perfect. I'll do it. I'll send it to you. No worries. Welcome. I'm super glad to have you here. I want to talk about, first and foremost, the music part of things, and then we'll get into the gay part of things. But how and possibly why did you get into music?
Gosh, I don't think I ever really had a choice. It was just something that was kind of always there. Yeah. One of my favorite stories, I was probably like 5 years old, and I asked my parents for a drum kit, and they were like, absolutely not. But they did get me a Fender Strat with no amplifier, and that just kind of started this whole thing. And after that, I got into piano and orchestra, and finally, my dad like took my mom's credit card, and we went shopping for a drum kit. And that's kind of when everything just spiraled into what it is today.
Yeah. That's awesome. My uncle actually gifted me a kit when I was 3 years old, and boy, my parents loved it. So much fun.
It's cool to be the fun uncle.
It is. It's true. That is true. Fun for him, not so much for my parents.
Yeah.
But so they gave you an electric guitar with no electrics to it. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah. Yeah. They eventually got me an amp. I am that kid that will just, you know, I am consistent and I am persistent. And they did eventually get me an amp. I had to do a lot of car washes for that amp.
I bet.
But yeah, it's weird.
How did you get from there? Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, no, it's okay. I was just going to say, it's weird. Just like music has just always been there. It's never been like a point in my life where that wasn't my interest, which is very weird. I've just been the same.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I think it takes a lifetime, and it continues throughout your life where you just, okay, this is the thing I'm doing. I guess I get better at it, or I change, or whatever. And it sounds like you did, during the pandemic especially, have a little bit of a shift from being primarily a drummer to getting into a little more of that singer-songwriter vibe. How did that happen? How'd that take place? And maybe why?
Yeah. So I was living in Jersey City during the pandemic. So it was like a much scarier, more intense version of quarantine. I feel like we were in the epicenter. So I couldn't leave to go play my drums at my bandmate's house like I was used to. I was stuck in my tiny little apartment. So I was kind of going crazy without any kind of outlet. And just things had changed so much. Like after quarantine lifted, the band was kind of like cool not being a band anymore. And I kind of took that as it's my time to figure out if I can reinvent myself essentially. And I'm still there. I think I've proven to myself that I can do it. It's still so different than playing drums. I haven't gotten that that autopilot yet. I still very much have to think about playing guitar, you know, while I sing. It's just different, but it's exciting.
It's a muscle memory thing, right? At that point, like you're just shifting over and getting that muscle memory on the guitar.
Absolutely. So that's been a fun challenge. Fun and also like throwing things in my studio because I'm like, I know what this should sound like. Like it's really interesting because I'm so new to it and I hear what I want in my head. Like the songs come to me that way where I'm just like, okay, I got to get it out. And then the guitar is always the worst part recording because I have to sit there and it kind of like slows momentum a little bit because I'm like trying to get that sound in my head. But I'm also like, I've been playing guitar for 3 years consistently now.
So it's getting easier.
Yeah.
Do you have people that you work with as well? Do you have producers that you're working with that make that process easier to go from what you're hearing in your head to what's actually being recorded?
Oh my gosh. Yes. So, I have two producers. One's name is Brian. The other is Walter. I love them both. Walter has done everything Pure Ecstasy up until this point. He mixed Fall Apart and he added some production, but Brian is primarily a guitar player. And Brian actually recorded all the tracks on Fall Apart. So they were exactly what I wanted. He was able to just lay everything out for me. And I actually got to record drums on Fall Apart. So I kind of got to go back to my roots there.
Yeah. So since we're kind of in it now, if we're talking about Fall Apart, let's walk through this song as sort of an example for how any of your songwriting process might look. Like, what is the inception of this? Is there a moment where you're like, ooh, this would be an interesting song? Or are you sitting down tinkering and writing different stuff down and waiting till you come up with the right lyrics? Like, what's the inception of a song like Fall Apart?
So Fall Apart actually started, I had like a girls' night, my wife and I, and one of our best friends, Bailey, came over and we were all just, you know, talking about like, wow, it is like too expensive to leave the house now. Like, so happy we're just staying in, chilling. And we're like, what are you doing the rest of the weekend? And she's like, I think I'm just going to rot in the apartment. And, you know, I just jotted that down and I told her, I was like, this is going to be a song. I don't know what I'm going to put it into, but it's going to be there one day. And one day I was just like in the mood to come sit in the studio and see if anything happens. And the first thing that came to Fall Apart musically was it almost sounds like a clock ticking in the intro of it. So I had that and that little vocoder at the beginning that's doing like the probably sounded weird because I can't hear myself in these headphones. But so I started with that and I just looped it and I pulled my notes app up and I was like, I'm going to fit this into something. And I remember that I'm going to fall apart. And that was just on loop until I fleshed out the verse and I had the chorus and that's all I had for probably like 2 months. I didn't know where to take it. Then I flew back home to Baltimore and I was able to track drums. Brian did some guitars and I re-recorded vocals there. And we wrapped the entire thing in one afternoon.
Nice. So this was in between Baltimore and New York or?
So I'm in Kansas City now. During the pandemic, it just got way too hard to stay local to that New York metropolitan area. So we moved where my wife is actually from, Kansas City, Missouri. And she's
I'm from St. Louis, represent.
Yes. She's like, okay, I'm moving you away from the ocean because that's like my one place where I can like turn my brain off. She's like, you can have your own studio space if we move out there because you can actually afford the second, like, you know, a larger space than in that area. And when I came out here, I just started writing songs like crazy. I just needed the space to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Kansas City.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's a big part of any artist's process, right? Is like having their space, having it set up how they want it to be set up, feeling like comfortable and feeling, oh, this is my space. I come in, I flip this switch and we're going, right? So that's huge. Do you find yourself when you're writing, are you often just like sitting down at a computer or at a notebook, or is this kind of stuff, does it hit you as you're sort of moving throughout your day, or like, where do you feel most gripped by it? Sounds like for Fall Apart, like there was one line that triggered this from a friend of yours, but what about your typical creative process?
Honestly, gosh, I'm the worst to go out to bars with because that's when it hits me. I'll be like two or three drinks in, like people are talking, and then I just get like sucked into my phone on my notes app and I'm just like going. And it was funny. One of our friends made a comment like, you've been on your phone this whole time. My wife goes, leave her alone. This is what she does. She's writing something right now.
Yeah.
Like,
let her cook.
I don't know. Yeah. Sometimes like conversations just inspire things. Like somebody will say a word that just, I haven't heard this word in a while. That's kind of interesting. That's actually what this song needed. Mm-hmm. Like I kind of piece words together like puzzles, and a lot of my notes will just be really dry thoughts, but it's because I don't know what I'm going to say. Like, let me rephrase that. I know what I want the song to say, but I don't know how I'm going to say
it.
So I'll just have like some notes where it's just, you know, a paragraph describing where I am, what I'm seeing, just the mood of the song. And it's kind of like little prompts for myself later when I'm in the studio. Like, say I have like a cool little loop going and I don't know what to put with it. I go through these little prompts and I just see what hits.
Yeah, that's cool. It's kind of like the pieces of the puzzle, and you get to the pressure cooker a little bit of the studio where you're like, okay, time is money here. I really need to like make this into something. And that little added bit of pressure on it allows you to sort of hone in and focus these ideas into like something that's a cohesive whole. That's cool. I think that's pretty similar in a lot of ways to how I work and how a lot of other people who I've talked to who are musicians or songwriters, they tend to like, you're picking up these little colors, right? As you go along, these little pieces. And then you're sort of like getting to the moment where you're like, okay, it's time to make this into a song. And that's where everything just sort of like gels together, or in some cases doesn't, which I've had that happen as well.
Oh my gosh, that's the worst. Like sometimes you'll write like a killer first verse and chorus, and then sometimes it'll take me like a couple months to figure out what the heck I'm going to say in the second verse.
Totally.
Yeah. Bridges are kind of like that sometimes too.
Yeah. Where you get just like a moment that kind of, so what do you do when you hit a block or something, whether it's in a particular song or just in general in your creative process, what do you find yourself going to sort of like get over that block?
It varies, but most of the time it starts with like taking a gummy and getting out of my head.
Yeah. I was going to say drugs.
Yeah. I'm like, I don't know how PC I have to be for this. Like, am I allowed to say like curse words? And
you can say anything you fucking want. So,
okay, yeah, cool. I have been
sex,
talked
drugs
in.
And rock and roll. You're
okay, cool.
Yeah.
Whew, okay. I was not sure. So yeah, I'll
yeah,
take
yeah,
the
yeah.
Gummy.
Let it all out. There we go. Okay, I should have made that very clear.
I'm this like, my name is Pure
space.
Ecstasy. So, but I like to sit in here, lights off, like I'm doing right now. I'll take a gummy. Sometimes I'll get a little wild and have some wine. And I just let a song loop. And the further into that journey I get, like the more I'm like, oh, this is what I've been trying to say all along. And I come up with the bridge. Because that's like, you know, that moment of the song. Like, this is the time to like tie everything together, say what the song is really about. At least in my music, that's kind of what I do. It's kind of, you know, the pinnacle of the song. So Yeah.
It's like the TLDR of any song, right? That bridge, the part where you're like, okay, if you didn't hear all this other shit, like, this is what I'm really saying right here. And then you get back to the chorus again.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's kind of what happens when I hit a block, or I'll call, you know, Walt and just share the note with him and ask, like, is there anything that you could imagine going here? Like, every now and then I'll reach out to my other creative friends and just, what do you think I should say here? I'm like so blocked. And a lot of the times they have like really good advice. They will not give me a line. They like to lead me to the water, but like I have to figure out what I'm going to do there, you know?
Yeah.
Nice. Yeah.
That's good. I think it's important to like rely somewhat on collaborators, but it's also important to have collaborators that like understand your process, right? That aren't like, oh, you should do this. You should do this, when you're like, no, I kind of more just wanted you to point me towards the thing. Yeah.
Like, tell me, do I need to go up, down? Like, what's the feeling here?
So. Totally. So with collaborators and with even just with your own stuff, like, when you find yourself sitting down to write, are you typically now writing on guitar?
Sometimes. A lot of my first album, I was just on an acoustic guitar, and it felt it felt really good to be writing songs that way that could stand on their own acoustically. But a lot had kind of shifted where I got new plugins, and Output has been my biggest co-conspirator. Like, sometimes I'll just get on there and find a loop that's just kind of inspiring, and then I'll write around that loop and usually delete it, but sometimes they stay in. Like, Fall Apart has a lot of stuff from Output on there.
Output's a plugin? That's the name of a plugin?
No. Yeah. Okay, so
tell me more.
Oh, it's so cool. It's kind of like a creative engine. And it gives you like all kinds of different impact noises, beats. Like, let's say you want like a really cool hi-hat, but you don't want it to actually be a hi-hat. Say you want it to sound more like a can of spray paint or something like that. And it gives you the options to like manipulate the loops, reverse them, pitch them up and down. So that has been a huge help in how I write songs. Like, I'll just put something on loop.
Nice.
It's already given me the vibe I want, so I can just push out lyrics. And then after the lyrics and the melodies there, I can go in and I start adding my own samples and my own like synth lines and stuff like that. Every now and then I'll like, you know, put guitar on top, but I think I'm kind of like done recording guitar. Like, I'm a much happier person not recording my own guitar.
Yeah, I get that.
Here's the vibe. Send me back the tracks.
I totally get that. What is the vibe? That was another thing I wanted to ask. Like, it sounds like you're going through this process. You're iterating. You've got, for me, when I listen to Fall Apart, like, it's extremely cinematic. Like, it feels not just like it belongs in a movie, but it feels like it is a movie, right? Like,
thank you.
It's very electronic, but it's also like this kind of like wide open visceral sound, and it's dancey. It's like happy on the surface, but it's about falling apart. So there's this sort of like, you know, like lush production and pretty filthy drops, but the vibe is like really kind of like open space and a little bit depressing, I guess you could say, like, it, you know, like the queen of the pity party, like,
yeah
thank you so much, depressing.
I love it.
So is there like, I guess what I'm asking is there like an era or a sound or a vibe that you're specifically trying to aim for when you create a song, like, for instance, Fall Apart?
I think it's just kind of come with time. I think Fall Apart and the stuff that I'm working on now is like the closest to the music that I grew up listening to and falling in love with. And I'm finally just kind of getting to that point where I'm like, I'm making stuff on par with, you know, the music that I grew up listening to. Like, not to sound like that guy, but like, I feel like I'm finally getting the tones and the structures where I'm like,
yeah,
this is where I've wanted to be all along. And a lot of those artists, like Death Cab for Cutie and the Postal Service, like, you can kind of hear like hints of that, I feel like, in Fall Apart.
Totally.
Passion Pit, just just bands that made me fall more in love with music. I feel like I'm finally kind of like hitting that spot.
Nice. Yeah, definitely you can hear those influences in there. And I think like what you've brought to it also is first off, like a strong female voice, but also just like it's way dancier. Like when I think of Death Cab, I mean, I know there's some stuff that's a little more up, but like this just feels so much more, your music feels so much more like in a way brash, like kind of like in your face in what I would say is a good way.
Thank you.
No slight to Death Cab, but they're not my favorite.
No, for sure.
I really like Fall Apart. So nice.
I appreciate that. It's just like things, I think more so like lyrically, the way that he describes things and he can paint pictures. I've been trying to do more like sensory in my writing, and I think that's helped people connect a little bit more. Brash, that definitely just, that's just me. I'm just like a full on Taurus.
And
like I can't help it.
Yeah. What is it that when you are in front of an audience, for instance, like what is it that you're wanting them to feel, right? Like you're coming at it from this place of like sort of empowered, but also allowing the vulnerability to show through a bit. Like, what do you want to convey with your music and how do you want your audience to feel?
I just want to convey that, like, that's such a hard question. I thought I was like going to go like right into it. And I'm like, wait, hold on. Let me think about this for a minute. I know that I definitely want people to feel seen when they listen to my music.
Yeah.
It's not all like happy, fun, pride music. It's, you know, it goes beneath the surface. Like, you know, I'm sad sometimes and that's cool if you're sad too. Like we don't always have to like dance and be happy and, you know, like we can dance because we're sad. We can like get that out. So I guess I just want my shows to feel cathartic, relatable.
Yeah,
and for me, I'm just like goofy as hell on stage. Like it's part comedy, part music. Like I just get up there and I'm myself and I'm by myself. So I have nobody up there like telling me to like tuck it in. I just keep going. I just keep going.
Nice. Well, I think that's important too, that like making that distinction, like as queer folks, right? We're like, hey, it is the rainbow. It is colorful. It is sparkly, but also it's there because there's rain, right? Like we have these storms and like sort of showing both sides of those things that like, yeah, we can be up, we can be happy, we can be pride. We can also be like every other person on earth, like depressed and pissed off about something and add to that sort of this extra layer of trying to like find our way constantly into like, where does society place us right now? And trying to evade that and trying to get through that and trying to like deal with that. So I think that's kind of a perfect segue into your queerness, right? Because this podcast is music.gay. So we've done the music part. Let's do the .gay part. How do you define your queerness? And then to flip that, how does it define you?
Gosh, I don't know. It's just kind of like music has been. It's just always been there. So like, I didn't even realize that it was like defining anything. It was just like, I like girls and I always have. That's really cool. And then I write music that's, you know, a lot of it is about being queer. Like, you know, I think it's really important to have she, her pronouns in love songs, because I remember growing up, like it was so rare until Tegan and Sarah put out Heartthrob. And I'm like, they said she and girlfriend. Yeah. And like, it was just like, that was so empowering. And I realized, I'm like, I want to start writing music like that, that makes other people feel this way. You know, I don't want to have to dance to a song at my wedding with he, him in it while I'm dancing with my wife, which we did have the Japanese house as one of our dance songs, like because of that. So very like, you know, that's a high bar. I don't know if I'll ever be like a wedding dance song, but that would be like top tier right there. If somebody does it, please hit me up.
Yeah. Love that. I think that's a really cool thing. Like the lyric, right? Like just the pronoun thing. I remember hearing, Don't Stop Me Now. And there's a part, you know, from Queen, Freddie Mercury sings, I want to make a supersonic woman of you. And you're like, sure, of course. And then later on the song, he says, I want to make a supersonic man out of you. And I was like, oh, damn, right? Like when I first heard that, I was like, oh, cool. Like you get that sense that there are these moments, at least for us as individuals, as queer individuals, like when we hear something, we're like, oh, that hit, like that resonated in a way that like for maybe 90% of people who are listening to this, they're just like, yeah, right on. It's just, it's the words and it's the song and it's whatever. But like, it does help you, like you were saying earlier, it helps you feel seen. And there's a catharsis that comes with like truly being understood, even if it's just through the lyrics of a song changing a he to a her or this or that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so simple, but so powerful.
What I was going to ask is why is it important for you as an artist? And I think you've touched on it a little bit, but why is it important to be out and to be sort of proud of who you are as an individual?
It's one of those things that's like just kind of built in, you know, like once I came out to my parents, it was like, whew, all right. Now I'm like, you know, gosh, I remember when I first came out and like, I think I cut like half of my wardrobe into muscle tanks and, you know, the amount of snapbacks, like there was no stopping me. But yeah, I just think it's important to be authentic to who you are. And especially as an artist, like we're pushing, I don't want to say agenda, like not the gay agenda, but like, you know, we're putting ourselves out there. So I'm not going to put myself out there 50%. And, you know, I'm all out there, but we're like, you know, putting our soul into music and like keeping that part separate would just not, it wouldn't be the truth. It wouldn't be doing the song justice. It wouldn't be doing the project justice. Like I am who I am. And I hope the people that feel similar to me find the music and are like, this is cool. Like this is it, you know?
Yeah. 100%. Do you want to talk at all about your coming out? I mean, it sounds like prior to cutting all the sleeves off your shirts, like what was this in your family? What was that like?
Oh my gosh. So around that time, Blue Crush was, you know, pretty popular. And I remember I watched that movie very often. My mom thought I just wanted to be a surfer. It was hilarious. I'm like, no, mom, it's Michelle Rodriguez and Kate Bosworth. I think a lot of my family had already known. It was actually surprising more to my mom. My mom's like, no, you're not gay. You're just, you know, you're not gay. And I'm like, okay, it's a mom. Phase. Yeah. And my brother was like, oh no, she's gay as hell. I've known for a long time. I've just been waiting for her to figure it out. And I'm like, thank you. And I remember my brother saying, now we finally have something in common, just women. He thought that was hilarious. Nice. Like, you know, him and I are opposites. So that was kind of like a fun thing. He was the easiest person to come out to. My family, they were pretty easy about it.
Nice. Were there struggles in life in... I mean, personally, societally, that you ran into after coming out, or was it kind of just what it was?
Nothing has gone, you know, much further than like, you know, somebody commenting something, you know, like dyke or whatever. And I'm like, cool.
Those people aren't real.
I know. And I'm like, cool. I have a sweatshirt that says that. Tell me something that's going to hurt my feelings. Like, get the fuck out of here. So it's been pretty, pretty easy for the most part. Like I'm very privileged in that way. Growing up, you know, in a very like gay friendly area, such as the, you know, East Coast, especially the mid-Atlantic part of that. So I lucked out being right between DC and New York.
Yeah. How's KC? How's Kansas City now that you're there? Any difference?
But the city of Kansas City is very gay friendly. Love it. Very cool scene here. Once you kind of go out into the burbs, people just kind of like double take a little bit. And I'm like, oh no, not a white woman and a black woman together. Like, ooh. Like you could just kind of, you can sense that bit. I'm like, not only are we interracial, but we're gay. So,
yeah.
But
They don't know. No one says anything. They get confused almost. They don't know which part to hate you for.
I know.
This is too confusing.
Then they just get mad. You know, it's too hard to figure out.
Yeah. Just give up and move on.
Yeah. But no, it's been pretty cool. It's, you know.
Nice.
I thought the Midwest would be a little bit less gay friendly. So I was happy that I at least got plopped into a safe little, it's a little speck.
Yeah. Kansas City, St. Louis, there's a couple little spots in Missouri that are like, hey, this is quite friendly.
Yeah.
It's quite easy to be out here.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
How does your gayness sort of intersect with your music? Where are those like points of intersection most obvious to you?
Probably just when I'm writing like the cutesy love songs is really like the only thing that it kind of like influences. I'm just so plain. I'm like trying to think of like a better way to say it. Like I'm gay, but it doesn't necessarily define my music. You know what I mean? Like I want other people to also be able to listen to it as well. So I again, like just being me, and that's.
Yep. It happens to be gay.
That just happens to be gay. Like there's some songs where I'm like, this is gay and I love it. Like my song Get Lost that it's like, it's dancey. Like it sounds like a pride song.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I say like high waisted shorts and like wearing my cutoff, like talking about, you know, very obviously a female. So that song, I definitely wrote that being like, this is gay and I love it.
Cool. I love that. Are there songs of yours that like feel closer to you than others? Do you feel like there's a difference? Sometimes you're just like, I just want to put out a song that feels like this. And sometimes you're like, oh shit, this comes from deep down.
There's a couple deep down ones that are about to come out for sure. I think it took me a little while to like be super vulnerable in my writing. And it wasn't like intentional. It was just kind of like, as time goes by, I'm able to express myself better. Like I feel like most of us do as we get older.
More practice just, doing it, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yep. So I think a lot of those are going to come out and people are going to be like, oh, I thought she was depressed before. And then they're going to hear some of this stuff and be like, oh, but you could dance to it.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey. And that's the best, right? That's the ultimate catharsis when you can both move your body and be moved in your spirit. That's great.
Yeah.
For what you're doing right now, do you have any particular dreams where you're like, I want to play Madison Square Garden or I want this to be, I mean, you've got a song that's going to be coming out in a movie soon. Like that's a pretty big deal. Do you have a big, big dream for your life and for your music?
I would love to do, gosh, I have like a whole list. The movie thing is definitely really cool. They actually just won best comedy at LA Film Festival. I've always wanted to compose, and the same people that reached out to me about putting Get Lost in their movie, I'm going to help compose some stuff for a short film and maybe a feature length. We're, you know, talking about that.
Sweet.
But
drop the name of the movie.
You're going to love it. Midwest Skidmark.
Right. Midwest Skidmark. Cool.
nice. Yeah, it's kind of like a super bad, but based in Kansas.
Oh, cool.
It's just like a little party film. Yeah, it's hilarious. I got to see it a couple months ago for the first time at a screening. I'm going to go to one of the film festivals in April that's closer to home and check it out at a actual like cinema. So that'll be really cool.
Oh, cool. That's fun. That'll be so nice to hear your song in that.
Oh my gosh, I know.
Aside from that, are there other like dreams that you feel like you've sort of already achieved?
I got to play the Dinah in Palm Springs, and that was definitely like a big bucket list. I remember like secretly watching the L Word before my family knew I was gay and like watching the Dinah Shore episode and like, I just want to go. Like, this is like a bucket list. And then when I won, when I got like voted in to play, like, that was crazy.
That's awesome. Congrats on that. That's huge.
Thank you.
What was the experience like when you got there?
It was like lesbian summer camp. It was so fun. Like, everyone's walking through Margaritaville, like, happy Dinah, happy Dinah. I'm like in my freaking Margaritaville robe because that's just who I am. I was like walking around in my robe with like a cocktail. It was just like one big party. It was so fun.
Yo, congrats on that. That's huge.
Thank you. It was tight. Like, Fletcher was there. That was
nice. Yeah. That feels like sort of an ideal, like a little utopia, a mini utopia for artists and for musicians. Do you have a sense of like what the ideal world is for an artist? Like, how can the world be more supportive of musicians?
Gosh, just streaming our music, but also like buying the physical copies, the merchandise, because, you know, streaming is awesome. It helps us look good for booking agents and managers, and, you know, numbers are important, but, you know, to be able to financially help support artists, like, please come to shows, like, please buy merch. That's really the biggest way you can support. And also by telling people about my project, about your project, like, you know, that's the biggest way that, you know, we can spread, is just word of mouth.
Yeah. Cool. That's so true. PureXTCmusic.com. Go now. You got merch up there too. I saw a bumper sticker or something that said that Pure Ecstasy made me gay or something. I loved it.
I named it like the Devil's Music sticker.
Yeah. It's perfect.
Thank you.
If you could go back in time, what would you tell little you, who maybe just got your first electric guitar, about being a musician?
Oh my gosh. I would have said, girl, stop depending on these boys to be in a band with you. Like, do it yourself. Yeah. Like, you are totally capable. Like, you don't need to be afraid of like using your voice. Like, I used to like be afraid of my own singing voice. And I just wish I would have started earlier, because now I'm playing catch up. And I just wish that, you know, I don't regret being a drummer, obviously, for all of those years. I wish I just wouldn't have put the guitar down for so long. I wish that I would have kept playing guitar, learn how to use my voice, and trying to
think. How did you get over that fear? How did you get to the place where you are using your voice now? Was there a transition? Was there a moment?
It was like out of necessity. I was like, I know I need to keep going, but I can't keep depending on bands to have the same drive and ethic that I do. You know, I would one day love to tour Europe, and that was an opportunity for a previous band, but, you know, some of the other members couldn't take that much time off work. And that was like absolutely crushing to me. And shortly after the pandemic happened, and it wouldn't have been an opportunity anyway, but it just kind of like made me look at things a little differently. Like, maybe I should be my own project so I can move at my own pace, because I just go. And I know normal people aren't like that. Like, I don't really take a lot of breaks. I'm always working on something. As unhealthy as it is, it's what makes me happy. So I like to work, and, you know, I understand other people aren't built that way. So that's what I would tell her. I'd be like, go get vocal lessons, girl. Just do it.
Yeah. Nice. What would you tell little you about being queer?
That it's okay. You know, it's not going to make your life that much harder. You're just going to be a hell of a lot happier. So I would have told her, come out sooner. You don't have to be so scared.
Yeah. Start. Here's a pair of scissors. Go to your closet. When you come out of that closet, all those sleeves better be gone. Love it.
Absolutely.
Okay. I want to do a lightning round with you. So it's just bing, 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 bing questions. Okay. Starting with, it's a big one. Where do you go when you die?
I'm like really scared of purgatory. As long as it's like somewhere like dark and quiet, that's fine. But I don't want to be trapped in an in-between space, just like going, going, going forever. I'm like, I want to rest. I'm tired.
Yeah. Yeah. From life on Earth where you're like, go, 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 to death where you're like, no, 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 no. We're done.
Exactly.
I did my thing. We're done. Yeah.
Yes.
Is there a God?
Cher.
Cher.
Or maybe Dolly
yes.
Parton.
Love it.
I'm not sure. It's one of them.
Or maybe it's like, you know, there's the Trinity where, you know, we have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, but it's actually just Cher, Dolly Parton, and someone else.
Maybe David Bowie.
We'll have to figure out who that third. David Bowie, perfect.
Yeah.
The perfect Trinity.
Yes.
Do you believe that anyone can be a musician?
Absolutely. Doesn't nice. Mean that you'll necessarily
Why?
Be a great one, but if you're yeah. enjoying it, there's gonna be a crowd for you somewhere. It might be
yeah.
very niche,
totally.
But there's something
yeah,
for everybody.
Niche, but
yeah.
Yeah. And I think if you're enjoying it, you are a good musician. Even
yeah.
if you sound like shit, if you're enjoying it, keep doing it. Do you believe anyone is really 100% straight?
No. There's no. at least like a 5% something in there that's curious. Just a little.
Sure. Sure. Okay. What's your favorite song?
Right now it's Griff. I think it's called Miss Me Too. It's so good. If you like Fall Apart, you're going to freak out over that song. Her voice is insane.
Cool. I'll check it out. What's your favorite book?
Slaughterhouse-Five.
Nice. What's your favorite color?
Orange.
Nice. Flavor?
Shoot. Whiskey ginger.
Love it. And what's your word of the year?
Jovial.
Love that. That's a great word. Jovial obviously comes from Jovian, which is of the planet Jupiter. Frankie Jupiter. Have to love that word. Jovial is a great one. Fuck, marry, kill. You ready?
Yes.
But you got to choose them. So you get
oh
to
my
pick
gosh.
Who you're going to fuck, who you're going to marry, who you're going to kill.
Kill Donald Trump. That was the easiest
okay.
one that I could get
Dead.
To.
Yep.
God, it'd be so
uh-huh.
great. Fuck Taylor Swift.
Right on.
That felt really raunchy coming out. I can't even say that. I'm like,
love it.
Taylor Swift is too.
Love it.
Okay. Marry. Does it count if I'm already married? I have to come up with a different
sure.
one.
I mean, go to Utah first, maybe, but.
Go hopefully. To Utah first. I'll still marry my wife.
I think she'll appreciate that. That's great.
Yeah. She's probably listening and like, what do you mean you're fucking Taylor Swift?
Just like, cool. It's cool. You can be there too. Don't worry.
Girl, it's fine.
Okay. I want you to write a line of a song with me. We've got the first four lines. So you're going to be basically starting verse two or into the chorus, whatever you want to do here. But I'm going to read them to you. You might want to write these down. This is going to be somewhat asynchronous. It might take you a second. So
okay.
I'll give you a second.
I have to write like the second stanza?
I mean, just the next line. Right? It kind of feels like this is the rap to the first verse. God is an echo of your thought. God is the ocean that blue raindrops. Come with me. The sky is getting dark. Tomorrow never is too far. Da 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 da. It's kind of what we're shooting
for. Oh my
for.
Gosh. Okay. Poison is a thought. Poison are your thoughts coming from a false god. This is a hard one because I never write like God.
Like that.
Stuff, but I, yeah. Do you want me
well,
to type it
okay,
back
so it
to
doesn't
you?
Have to be God, right? Like, the Benoit was a atheist. B, I think, believes there's something out there. J-Line was like, we got to get out of this God shit. And then Tomi was just like, tomorrow never is too far. So you can completely go away from God, like, if you feel it. This is, we're just kind of in this theme of like, you know, this idea of something bigger than yourself, perhaps. And the rain is coming. But tomorrow never is too far, so like you can always change shit, whatever. That's kind of how I'm reading it so far.
Yeah.
So don't feel like you need to be stuck in the God realm if it makes more sense for you to climb out of that.
Yeah, I kind of like poison are your thoughts led by a false god. Like starting another line.
Poison
that
are
way.
Your okay.
You didn't tell me you were gonna come at me with song stuff. I would have been prepared.
I know.
I would have taken a gummy.
If you want, you're welcome to take a gummy later on, think on this, and just email me back with one. But right now I've got Poison of Your Thoughts led by a false god. XTC. Cool. Okay. Did I just hear you start a loop up?
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I was drumming. You hear that?
Nice. Yeah, that's cool.
That's hilarious.
Like, if we're going to do this, we're going to do this.
Right?
If this podcast had a slogan, what would it be?
So I feel like we got to do something like put the pressure on.
Put the pressure on?
I think the slogan would have to have something with Jupiter. And I said jovial earlier. So I'm like trying to put this puzzle together. Just, man, what do you think? What do you think? We have jovial. We have Jupiter.
Oh, yeah, no, I'm putting you on the spot.
Oh my gosh.
I've thought many things. I thought to put the whole podcast together, in fact. So now you just have to come up with the slogan.
Gosh, I'm the worst group partner. Let's think. Music.gay, the safe space for musical gays.
Love it.
Like, add some whistles in the background of this commercial. It could be like a Bounty commercial.
Love it. Music.gay, the safe space for musical gays. Perfect. It's all right there in the title.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Taylor, is there anything else that you want to add?
Being a dramatic gay, as I am, I will be releasing new music at the beginning of Pride Month. Like, I know that I've been talking about Fall Apart, but there is going to be another short film and another single coming out for Pride. It's going to be fantastic. I'm just going to be unhinged and tell you that it's called Mood Ring. Yeah.
Love it. Here for it. Mood Ring. We're bringing in Pride with Mood Ring. We love it.
Yeah. You heard it here first.
Exclusive. Anything else you want to add?
I think that's all for now.
Well, fantastic. Then that's it. Taylor, thank you so much for joining me today. And thank you everyone who tuned in to check out music.gay and Pure Ecstasy. Go find at Pure XTC Music everywhere, Instagram, TikTok, before it gets banned forever, Twitter, or should we say Pure X at this point. Buy, download, stream her music on Spotify, Apple Music, Amazon Music, wherever you get your digital fix, and keep your eyes open for those new songs that are coming out and for the new short films coming out all throughout 2024, starting with Mood Ring at the beginning of Pride. And obviously check this site out, purextcmusic.com, to find out where you can catch live shows in your area. And that's all I got for you. Thanks again, Taylor. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Cheers, queers.